Yo, what's good? Laugh Now, Die Later on the road to the 100th episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you. Thank you for anyone who listens. Give us a 5-star on Spotify, on Apple. I don't know. I don't really even check Apple Podcasts, but if you listen there, thank you. Give us a 5-star on Spotify. It helps us a lot. Helps get us more out there, I guess. And today we have Chris Kirk. Right, is it Christopher Kirk or something?
Oh, yeah, it's Christopher Kirk, but either or.
You go by Chris Kirk.
Yeah, I go by Chris Kirk. Yeah.
My favorite part of saying is where we're live from. Depending on how these episodes go, I mean, for those who care, I just came back from a tour with In Time. So I was up in Seattle, and we recorded some episodes in the Bay, and now we're here back in beautiful Echo Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's fucking nice out here. I want to live here someday. I'm getting off track. But my guest today, Chris Kirk, Locke, greatest band, one of my favorite bands ever.
Thank you.
Locke and Leather Slave. But overall, I'm not going to front with you, like, your photos.
Yeah.
Your photos are like, you're older, but, I mean,
sure.
But still, but like, your photos are like, just remind me of like, just chilling, you know what I mean? Even like your photos are not too out there. Just like, it's always like very detail orientated. Mm-hmm. It's always has a cool something cool is going on in the photo. Mostly black and white. I don't know if you you don't do color that much.
Not much. I do. I've been leaning a little more into it, but I prefer black and white. Overall.
Yeah. But yeah. Your photos are just basically your photos are like. I don't know, it just reminds me of, like, I think there's one photo that, for some reason, I was remembering today of Speedy, like, saying, like, next to someone, it says, he lives calm.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like, shit like that, where it's, like, I feel like the average person would have, like, taken it, like, here, pose, mm-hmm. but you kind of just took it, like you know what I mean? Like, you waited for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's shit like that's kind of sick. But, yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, what'd you do today?
Just worked. Came home, immediately worked on some flyers kind of flyer stuff I had to work on.
Yeah.
And then now we're here.
Yeah, what flyer for?
For this band Kumo 99.
Cool. Oh, never mind. Oh, yeah, but
yeah.
They're like in type band.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's like drum and bass, like pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are punk dudes. I like that band. I just heard of them recently.
Yeah, they're awesome.
But who are they? Or who? They're Japanese, right?
No.
Or am I thinking of another band?
No, you're right. They sing in Japanese, but they're both from here. They both live in Los Angeles.
Are they from Japanese like families or they're?
Yeah, the singer is Japanese.
Okay. So they're still. That's sick. Are they like punk dudes or?
The singer was in like some old punk bands for sure.
We're like in a punk circle. Like they're punk people, or no?
For sure, yeah. I would say so. Yeah, they're like definitely like within the circle of like friends.
I should probably interview him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sick. You basically do everything. But let's talk about what led up to that. Your childhood.
Sure. Yeah.
How was it growing up in Huntington Beach?
It was great. It was like very chill. I think I was saying earlier, there wasn't much to do, so I always found myself like making art or having a lot of time to make music or, you know, go on tour. Those are definitely the luxuries of living in the suburbs where there's like not a show like every weekend, but like an art show to go to or whatever, and there's not like events, so you have plenty of time to, if you wanted to be creative, and like that was a big plus. It just moves very slow, you know, so it gives you plenty of time to do whatever you want. Yeah.
What instilled liking art, being, you know what I mean, there's one thing of like having the eye for art and another of like, was it your family members, a friend, or the scene, or what kind of was like, I'm just gonna do art instead of getting into something else?
Yeah, I don't know, I think it was my mom. She played guitar when I was younger, she had like an acoustic like nylon guitar that she'd always play around the house. So I think that got me probably interested in music. And then it might just be like the typical, I have like an older brother. It might be the typical like older brother has some CDs and tapes you want to listen to, so you sneak them and listen to them.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like sparked my interest in music. I think I was interested in music from a pretty young age. And then I think when I found like punk and like alternative and like pop punk, that's what like really like changed the course of like what I was interested in, you know. And that was probably around 8th grade.
So
yeah.
And you're a brown skin.
I am. Yeah.
How was that growing up in Huntington Beach?
For the most part, it was fine, to be honest. There was obviously some like incidents, I guess, like that you run into. But it was also just mainly being at like punk shows in Orange County, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like just from
Orange County itself.
Yeah, it wasn't just like from like the random skinhead that was like downtown. Like they could care less. Like they wouldn't. Like, if you don't mess with them, they don't mess with you, like, essentially. But it's usually what happened at, like, a punk show down at, it used to be called the Galaxy, but it's now the Observatory?
Oh.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, it was, like, honestly fine. I think it gets, like, a pretty bad rep, you know? I mean, I guess part of it is warranted, for sure. But overall, if you just, like, are just doing you, like, no one bothers you.
How about identity? Like, being, like, your last name being Kirk, and...
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I don't know, just, like, how was that? Like, were you ever, like... I don't know, kind of see, like, I don't know, see, like, movies or shows of, like, brown people, and you're like, oh, like, this is what I look like.
Sure.
But I'm over here. Like,
for sure.
Living this life.
Yeah, it was definitely brought up, I guess, like, when I was in elementary school. It'd be like, oh, why is your last name Kirk? And, like, why are you brown?
You look pretty Mexican, too. Like, yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you have, like a parent-teacher conference or something. Or, like, a friend comes over and, like, oh, wait, why are your parents white?
Uh-huh.
You know, then you have to explain, like, oh, I was adopted, X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah.
Do you ever get me fun of that? Like, fools are, like, I mean, I know kids are heck crazy.
No, not really. I never, like, got teased about or made fun of it. I just, because, like, probably because I was quicker to make fun of myself for it than them.
Were you self-conscious? Or, like, or you use that as a mechanism?
I think I probably use that as a mechanism to get, like, ahead of the curve, like, to not have to deal with them making fun of me.
Like, oh, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so, like, if I'm making fun of myself, anything you say to try to make fun of me, like, that's not going to matter. Because I've already, like...
Yeah, the classic.
Already,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, you've already made fun of yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So that was pretty much, like, how that went. But, yeah, I never really had, like, any, like, issues about it or, like, no one ever poked fun or, like, teased me about it. It was, you know...
How about later on in life, like yourself, like, do you ever wonder, like, who your parents are and et cetera, et cetera?
For sure. There's definitely times where you wonder, but...
Did I ever, like, really, like, I need to know? Or, like, it was always, like, in the back of my mind?
I think there was probably, like, a minute where I was like, I mean, I really am curious. And I don't think... I want to say it was, like, a burning desire to, like, ever find out or, like, look into it. I've definitely looked into it and, like, done my own research... And talked to my mom and dad about it, but I never had, like, an overarching, like, desire to go look.
You never found it?
No.
Were you ever close, or was it possible?
No, because it was a closed adoption, which means that my mom, biological mom, was probably underage, and so it was, like, closed by the courts. Because I think there was, like, don't quote me on, but I think there was, like, a law, maybe, in the 80s? That if it was someone underage, it was closed to, like, conceal their identity for whatever reason.
Is that still a thing now?
I'm not sure. I think you can either agree to have it closed or open.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just up to the parents. But I think back then it was just, like, it had to be closed.
Interesting.
But I think now it's changed where it can be open or closed if you want.
Were your other brothers adopted, too?
Yeah, my older brother was, too.
So do you guys look the same or
We're both brown, for
we're
sure.
We're both brown, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's, like, Hawaiian.
Okay.
So he's, like, a little lighter skin brown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I think he's, like, the same way about it, too. The same feelings about it.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yes. Would you say you got along with your parents? Yeah, it was...
For sure, yeah. I mean, you go through, like, the typical teenage bullshit of, like,
yeah.
You know, pushing back. But overall, like, they've been, like, nothing but great.
there.
I mean, they definitely supported all my music endeavors. Probably beyond, like, I would say, maybe most parents.
Yeah.
So I can't, like, complain at all. Like, it's been fine.
Yeah. Do you... I know this might sound crazy. I don't want to sound too, too nosy. I was just wondering, do you think, like, based on what you see, like, you know, growing up seeing other kids, do you think, like, there's a different type of love from, like, a parent who, like, chose to, like, I want to take this kid in, mm-hmm. from, like, a parent who, like, oh, I just have a kid and I don't love him, type shit. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Is there a different type of love where, like, for example, your parents being, like, I'm support you, like, with your music or with your, being DIY. Like my mom's, like, right now kicking me in the ass, being like, well, like, what are you doing on tour? Like, go get a fucking all this, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't know if it stems from being adopted or not. I think it stems from, like, I think in my experience of my parents' parents being, like, really hard on them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, the flip, like, the opposite. It's like, oh, my parents were really hard on me as a kid. When I have kids, I'm going to be a little more lenient and supportive so they don't feel like they're being pressured or talked down to, you know? So I think that was, like, the difference.
Same.
Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with, like, you know, being, a biological kid or, like, an adopted kid.
Yeah.
I think it's just mainly just, like, generational.
What did they think of, like, I have a band called Elderslay.
I don't think they know about it.
Yeah.
They've never seen any of my bands, which is fine, but they've always, like, you know, like, so my, I guess my second band, technically, they would let us practice in the house, like, as much as we wanted. After, like, a certain time, we had to stop because the neighbors complained, but, I mean, we practiced there so much. So, I mean, they never really bothered them.
Same.
Even, like, when I started learning drums, they, I mean, thinking about it now, the amount of annoyance that must have been to, like, him see me, like, play drums for, like, hours on end, like, and they wouldn't complain about it.
Yeah.
So, it was fine.
Yeah. You know? Sounds like you had it, like, for a kid was, like, into DIY shit, and, like, you had the coolest parents.
For sure. Yeah. I remember there was one point I was recording a lot in my home, or in my house, in my room. My brother had moved out, and our rooms were next to each other, separated by the wall. And I asked my dad if we could, like, knock down the wall between us so I could have, like, my room on one side and, like, record it to on the other side. Because I had to run cables from, like, the recorder to the computer to transfer it. And, like, he cuddled, like, a giant hole in the wall. And it's, like, still there to this day.
That's sick.
And, like, he just put up, like, accordion doors, so they're separated now. But, like, when I was probably, like, 18, he, like, cut a hole in the wall. I was like, all right. I'm, like, sick.
That's fire.
I basically had, like, a home studio of what I could afford to, like, right there. So I didn't have to leave my room.
That's fire.
So I was, like, always recording stuff, you know?
That's sick. Damn, that's sick. That's sick.
Yeah, it was tight. So, like...
Shout out to your dad.
I would say they're very supportive in their own way.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, yeah. But, yeah. So you started being in bands. What was, like, some of your first bands? If you can remember, what's your very, very first band?
My very first band was a band called Noise Attack.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, they were called something else before I joined. They were called Every 6 Seconds. And then I joined, and I suggest we change it to this name.
You know, like, Every 6 Seconds?
No, I...
What does it stand for?
I think their joke was that someone masturbates every 6 seconds.
That's so funny. Yeah. Like a science fact?
I don't know. But, I mean, we're, like, 15. You know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's, like, it makes
sense. That's kind of a cool name, Every 6 Seconds.
Makes sense for a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
And then I think around that time I got really into, like, American hardcore.
Yeah.
And there was a compilation called the North Atlantic Noise Attack. And so I just, like, yanked it from that.
Yeah.
Came Noise Attack. We practiced at the singer's house. And I didn't get driven there by some other friend because I didn't drive at the time. And I played one show with them. And I quit because I didn't like it. And then...
Like the people or the music?
I think it was the music, and I think around that time I had started writing my own songs that were, like, much more fast.
Hmm.
Like, Noise Attack was very, like, pop-punk oriented.
Yeah, okay.
And I was writing, like, more, like, Dr. No, like, Minor Threat, like, fast American hardcore. And the singer thought it was too fast, which is fine. So I quit, and then I think I went back. I was like, oh, I want to, like, be back in the band, because I was so bored, you know? So I think I played one more show with them in, like, a driveway. I quit again. I was like, well, I don't want to do this anymore. So I quit. Then I started my second band called MK40, which I sang for. And I wrote all the music, I think. And I sang for that.
That was like...
It just sounded like, I want to say American hardcore, but it's probably farther from that. It was like more, I guess, like more, it's like very amateur, like punk, I guess, you know? It wasn't like as fast as like Minor Threat or American hardcore stuff. We played two shows. One was at my high school, like at the Battle of Bands, and the other was at a bar in Newport, like a very notorious like pay-to-play bar. And, like, we didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
Because I think I was like 16 or 17.
Do those still exist?
Probably, yeah. We played that show, and then like the promoter got mad at us because we didn't sell the tickets and turned the whole thing. We're like, oh, it's like, well, you owe us now like $150. And we're like, we don't have that. Like, we're 16, you know?
What'd you do?
We just didn't pay it.
You just left?
No, we played, but we like didn't pay him. You know, we sold, I think, two tickets, and one was to the bass player's older brother who came to see us, and he must have bought this other second one for his friend. But that band didn't end, or that band didn't last very long. And then after that, while still in high school, I started my other band, which I would say was like my first serious band, called Harpoon Guns.
Harpoon Guns?
Harpoon Guns, yeah. And we put out like a couple 7-inches and stuff and went on tour. That was like, I would consider that my first like real like band, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was that the band you toured with, or?
Yeah, that was a band I went on my first tour with, put out like my first record, like started meeting people in like the DIY, the actual DIY punk scene. Because like before that, I didn't know that existed. And so that's when I started meeting like actual DIY punk kids who were like, oh, you should like come to LA and play, or like we should play a show together.
Do you dress all punk and shit, or
like,
are you?
Not really. I just wore like jeans and like a flannel, you know. I was never very into like fashion, like mohawk punk or like patch punk, you know. It wasn't my thing.
Are the like fucking shoelace?
No. Yeah. It was very like skate punk.
Yeah.
You know, I was like really into like a lot of like Oxnard stuff.
Oh, okay.
And like early skate punk, so that's kind of where that stemmed from. But that, like, during this time is where I met Beans and Abe and this guy Chris, who used to do a house called the Linden House in Long Beach.
Mm.
So that was like the first time we got to go to like, when we figured out, there's like, oh, there's a whole punk world.
There's outside, other scenes. Yeah,
outside of like, you know, the orange curtain, as they say.
The orange curtain.
You know? Yeah.
So, yeah. So you're in high school, you're doing all these shows. Are you doing good in school? Or are you?
Yeah, I did fine in school.
Yeah.
I mean, I got like, I would say average.
Were you straight edge, or were you drinking at the time, or? Were you a bad kid, or what was going on?
No, I never claimed straight edge, but I didn't drink or do anything until I got older.
Yeah.
Do
you know what straight edge was?
I did, yes. I mean, I was like super into like Minor Threat and like Uniform Choice and like all that kind of shit. But if you ask one of my other friends, he said that I was, but I will say that I don't think I ever claimed it, you know? But I definitely wrote some like straight edge leaning songs.
You were kind of straight edge. I get it.
Yeah. I never like X'd up. I never like claimed it. But yeah, I did like fine in school. I got like average grades, probably like B's and C's, you know?
Yeah.
Like, average student.
Yeah.
Didn't cause problems in school. Just like did my work, went home and like wrote music and played and stuff.
So you graduate high school and you've seen like kind of not the world, but you've seen a little glimpse of like the world, and you're kind of learning more than the average kid what's life after high school.
Yeah, I'd say like the Harpoon Guns was like kind of like, I want to say it started like junior year, and like after we graduated, or maybe we went on a tour like while I was in high school still. But after that, it just kind of just like exploded because I didn't have school anymore besides like community college, you know. I mean, it was just like meeting people, and it was like definitely the heyday of like MySpace music. Was it MySpace music or Facebook? One of the two made it very easy to book shows like outside of your area. I think it was maybe MySpace. You could type in like Portland, Oregon punk, and there'd be a band that come up, and you'd be like, hey, we're gonna go on tour this day, can you like help us book a show?
Like a hashtag or what? Like,
no, you just like search, like you could search
like
where the bands were from. I mapped out a route, and I was like, let's do these cities, and I'll just type in punk this city, and whoever comes up, you know. Like, it wasn't very connected, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound all old heady, but it was like just different, you know.
Yeah, it's a very beginner stages of like.
Yeah,
because now you can see like an Instagram like tells you everything
for sure.
Yeah, like you know everything.
People are tagged, and this person's in XYZ band, you know.
Yeah. Or like even followers, or like the way they present, like because social media has come such a long way that the way you present yourself on social media, like you know, there's like you know how someone like moves or something.
Yeah, or just like a homie's playing a show in like Kansas, and he tags all the people on it. You're like, oh, I can really go these people, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we did with that band. We did 2 West Coast tours, I think.
By West Coast, what do you mean? Like, do you guys go all
from Huntington, LA, the Bay, Sacramento, Oregon, Washington, Salem, then like back down.
Yeah.
Harpoon has never left the West Coast.
Okay.
But yeah.
But still a band thing, is it? Or
I'm sorry?
Still a band?
To this day?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, because you're like, Harpoon still hasn't left.
No.
I was like,
no, we broke up, I won't say, like in 07.
Sick.
Yeah.
And you guys had a last show and everything? Was it like a big band at the time? Or like, was it like.
I don't think so. No. I mean, we did like a lot of. I think we did 3 7 inches and a 12 inch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was a big band.
Yeah.
I think we're definitely in this group of bands around that time that were a little younger and different.
Yeah.
In my opinion, there was like it'd be like Harpoon Guns, NASA Space Universe, Vomit Bomb, Critical Picnic, Audacity. There was like this little group of bands that were like from Orange County, LA-ish, you know, that were like the young punk bands, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, there's this band called Harry Balzania and the Teeny Weenies.
No.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
The records are great. But they were, like, a really big, I guess, catalyst for our band.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, they had an older brother who was, I want to say, like, 5 years older.
Yeah.
But he knew a lot of, like, the older L.A. bands, like Life's Halt, the Bay Band, like, What Happens Next. He knew, like, all these other fastcore bands from the era. So they, like, really helped us get into, I guess, like, the L.A. punk scene, and, like, there used to be shows at, like, the Cultural Center in Santa Ana, and they were a big part of that. So they were, like, a really big catalyst in, like, the puzzle of this to, like, get us out of Orange County to play, like, shows.
Yeah.
Like, them and, like, Beans and Abe and all those people, for sure.
Do you guys play, like, Hit Me Back?
Yeah. I think we played Hit Me Back at, I want to say, Cashmere Cafe.
Yeah.
I think it was in Southgate. We played with them, I want to say, at the Linden House. But yeah, that's how I know Beans, is like from that world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. And from 20 to 25, what was your, like, besides, like, you're touring, you're playing bands, what else is going on in your personal life? Have you picked up a camera already?
Yeah, I would say I picked up the camera the first tour.
Was it film or digital?
Film. In 2006 maybe.
I know it's cool now, like filming like VHS and like
for sure
retro shit or whatever the fuck, but was it cool then? Like,
I don't know if it was cool or not.
Or were there people using it? Or was there like a group of people using it?
There was definitely people using it. This guy Steven Cubicle,
yeah,
he ran Cubicle Records. He was like a very big film head.
Yeah,
I remember him shooting a lot of film. But my dad had an old film camera from when he was in the army that he gave me. So I took that on my first tour because I just needed something to.
So it was an accident.
I just got a camera to document being on tour.
Same.
I had digital cameras before that, just like to play around the house, you know, with the friends, but like, or like little high 8 cameras, like video cameras.
Yeah.
But I would say the first time I like took it vaguely serious was like on tour.
Yeah.
To like document what we were doing and like remember.
Yeah.
That was like the sole purpose, to be honest.
And you were like, this was high school still, right?
This was probably 2003, 2004.
Yeah. I was born around that time.
That's wild. I'm old.
That's crazy. So you're 2003, 2004. You're in your 20s. You start taking photos. As you're going on tour, like you say, you're taking your photography more seriously now. It was the first time. Are you constantly shooting photos, or like it was kind of like here and there?
It was here and there. It was definitely not as much as I wanted to, or I guess as I would have liked to, looking back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shows I went to and played from like 2004 to like 2000, I would say 9 or 10. Well, maybe like say to like 2008 or something, that I really regret I didn't take more photos. It was like crazy shows that like I would have loved to have photos from, like looking back.
Yeah.
But I obviously didn't know I would like photography so much, so I didn't. It didn't make sense at the time, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just shooting like sporadically, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And 20 to 25, what are you working on? Are you still going to college? What's going on?
Yeah.
Besides music and photography.
Yeah, I started going to college in 2005. I graduated in 04, high school. 2005 to like 2011, I was in community college. I went for like 6 years.
Damn.
I think it was just to delay the point of like actually going to real college.
Yeah.
And I was doing like so much music during that time, and like different bands and like records and all that stuff. I wanted to like make my life as easy as possible to like do that and like not focus on school. So during those like years, I was like doing like a lot of music stuff. That's getting like more into like photography, you know, and like learning Photoshop and like making flyers and.
Did you go to school just because of your parents, or?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you were like, yeah. I don't even...
100%.
Okay, honey. Yeah. Did you eventually graduate?
I'm sorry?
Did you eventually graduate?
Yeah, I transferred from OCC. I went to Long Beach College for one semester. I hated it. I left. And then I transferred to Cal State Dominguez Hills from 2011 to 2012. And I got a BA in audio engineering from there.
Sick. Did you use it, or?
I used it for 1 year and I hated it. So I have nothing to do with my degree anymore.
What'd you do? Why'd you hate Long Beach City College?
It's too big.
Too big?
I hated it. I hate the campus. It's too big.
Are you socially like, are you not like good with like a bunch of people?
No, I'm fine with a bunch of people. I just thought it was just too big. I didn't like it. I didn't like walking from one end to the other.
Yeah.
The OCC is kind of like a small campus.
Yeah.
Like in comparative, you know?
Yeah.
The Dominguez Hills is tiny.
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, that's great.
Sick. So from 2025, you finished college. I mean, you some point you transfer.
Yeah.
25 to 30, how's your life? Doing the DIY thing, did you see any like, what's the word?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Like more coming out of it. Like, is there, what tours are you doing? Like, what bands are you starting?
Sure. So in 2007, like the backtrack, I went on my full U.S. tour with my friend's band called Rabies.
Rabies. I was named after the guy.
No. Oh. I think like the disease rabies, okay. IES.
Yeah.
But they were from Venice, and I met them playing in Harpoon Guns,
yeah,
at like a skate park. And I went on the whole U.S. with Rabies and this band called War Crime from the Bay.
Yeah.
I was just their roadie. And it was like a crazy, it was like, it was like 43 shows in like 45 days. No, reverse that. It was 45 shows in 43 days. It was just like a crazy tour. And I'm almost positive the guy Josh in Rabies based his tour off of an old Black Flag tour where they hit like every city in the U.S.
Sick.
So it was like a huge tour. That was the first time I ever went like east.
Yeah.
And then next summer, I'm sorry, two summers, 2009, I had a new band called Francis Harold and the Holograms, and we did a whole U.S. tour based on Josh's route. So we doing that, and then that was the only band I was in at that time. And then 2011, that band went to the UK for a 7-day tour in the UK. And then that band broke up. And then post that, I started a band called Doses, which is very like drum machine, like aggressive punk, I guess. That band lasted for about 3-4 years, broke up, and then we did Lock. And then probably during Lock, we did like Leather Slave. And then Lock broke up, and Leather Slave was still ongoing, I guess. And then I joined Object, and then I stopped doing that.
Sick. How was it going on our first U.S. tour?
It was amazing. It was incredible.
Would you do the? I mean, I don't know about you, but I did the classic like save up money and go on tour.
For sure.
How much money do you need to save up to go on a 4-year tour? Because I mean, like, is it like 45 days? Like, on
that's a long time.
That's a long time. That's like how much? That's like a month and.
It's like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was great. I mean, the first time ever going east.
Yeah.
Was like amazing with like two really good bands. Was sick. And I got to play with like a lot of also good bands. It was like. That was during the era of that record label, No Way Records.
Huh.
And, like, Sorry State Records were really big, so it was, like, a big U.S. hardcore resurgence. And so they played, like, a ton of, like, really good bands. It was awesome. I probably saved up, like, I don't know. I probably took only, like, $500.
That's crazy.
Or, like, a little more, you know?
I probably survived for for 2 weeks with $400.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, like, pay for gas.
Yeah.
I'd have to pay anything for, like, the lodging if we had to. Like, yeah. I wasn't in the bands. I was just, like, a roadie.
Me neither, but yeah. I still couldn't fucking figure it out. I need to learn how to save money.
Yeah.
But, do you, I know, I think I talked to someone else about it. Like, bands don't really do full-year tours anymore.
Sure.
Do you think, like, not necessarily, as a... Like, a band needs to do it to get big, but more so, do you feel like it's a necessary experience? Like, for someone who loves hardcore, or like, DIY or punk? Like, would you recommend it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you see a lot of the country that you'll probably never see, regardless.
Yeah.
And you do it on, like, your band's dime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're making, like, if you make $200 at one show, that's, like, enough gas money to get you to the next spot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the Rabies tour was, like, a lot of, like... We were just, like, sleeping in the car.
Yeah.
Or we'd find a skate park and, like, sleep in the skate park, you know? Oh, it was a lot of, like, those kind of experiences. It wasn't, like, a motel every night.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you, did you fucking break your back? Like, just, like, after 45 days, you're like, fuck, I need to sleep or in a bed?
I mean, we definitely, like, I mean, I think that was, like, I don't know. I haven't been on a full tour in a long time, but I don't know if it still happens where... We're staying at a lot of people's houses.
Yeah, yeah.
We probably only stayed at, like, a motel maybe 5 nights out of that whole tour.
Yeah.
And that was, like, if we're in the middle of nowhere or we decide to leave after that show and get a head start, we get, like, a cheap motel somewhere.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's, like, people's houses, and they usually have, like, cushions or extra beds or, like, a blow-up mattress or something.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that back-breaking. I think it was just being on the road that long. You just, because there's a point where you're, like, all right, we're only halfway done. Like, we have half more of this to go.
Yeah.
We have, like, 22 more days to go.
Yeah. I feel like going on tour is like camping. Like,
for sure.
Like, it's cool when you look back at it, you're like, oh, shit, I did that. But when you're in it, it's like, ooh, I'm, like, you kind of, like, trying to save money, trying to, like, rob, steal some shit here and there. Like, you want to be
for
like...
For sure.
But...
And also, when you get older, I feel like you take more stuff. So, it's, like, it's like extra annoying.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Then there's a point where you reach where you're like, oh, I don't want to sleep in a house anymore. I want to have a shower and a bed.
Yeah.
Like, so if I went on a U.S. tour right now, it'd be a lot different, I think, for sure.
Yeah, we only took, like, one pair of shorts, one pair of pants.
Yeah.
Like, and, one pair of shoes and everything.
But also, when you're younger, you have, like, crazy experiences you probably don't have when you're older.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. What are some places going on a full-year tour that you'd be like, this place is sick that normally nobody would think of? Like a state or a city?
Yeah.
That you remember that I was like, damn, that place, like, who knew that place had, like, crazy shit going on?
I'd say, like, Southern Oregon. Like,
really?
like Salem and what's the other one there? That's south of Oregon. I forget, but there's one other one. There's, like, a Salem and something else. But the kids, like, would just go off.
Dude, Oregon was, I mean, at least when I was there, it was depressing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Oregon's, one of the, like, worst places on earth, probably.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, New Mexico, like...
New Mexico?
It was, like, some small coffee shop in New Mexico, and, like, it was sick.
Yeah.
You know, it was cool to see...
Did you ever hear a place like Alabama?
Yes.
Like, just straight up, like, Southern or, like, racist and shit. Like, how was that?
I would say the... I think my first time in, like, the middle of America, like, Kansas, it was definitely, like, a shock. Like, I remember I was with Rabies and War Crime on the first U.S. tour. I got out of the van, and there's, like, cornfields, like, as far as I could see. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I just remember we walk into the gas station and like just these like middle America folk just like could not believe what they saw. Like you just tell it was like heavy eyes on you like the whole time. Whether it's like if we're like dirty punks or if like because I think like having a brown guy with them or like whatever it might be, is like you could just tell all eyes were on you. So it was like definitely very uncomfortable in like certain areas.
Did you ever like have like a problem? Like someone's just like at a gay girl or like oh, what's that? I don't know, have you seen that movie? It's a fucking that movie where it's a punk band and they're on tour and they accidentally play this Nazi fest and what's the movie called?
Green Room.
Yeah, do you have any Green Room type experience?
I wouldn't say like race related. I just been like have crazy incidents, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like we played in Phoenix, I think, with Rabies. I was on their tour. Someone just like ran into the building and said they had a gun. And like everyone, the show just stopped.
Like
everyone,
a random person?
Just like a random person. And everyone just like sat down and like waited for like, see what he was going to do. And then he just left.
Oh, really? We'll talk more about that. Like, explain the whole story.
Yeah. I mean, that's like what I reminded my friend Josh about it maybe a couple months ago. And he like totally forgot about it. But I think they were just playing and this guy just like runs in. I think he had like no shoes. He was like kind of dirty. He was causing a scene. And like he eventually said that he had a gun. Then it got relayed throughout the crowd, you know, and like the show stopped.
Like it was like, I have a gun, like telling people, or like.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then like it just stopped, and we all just kind of sat there to see what was going to happen. And like no one really ran, from what I recall. And he just eventually just left.
Did he take off the gun eventually?
No, I don't think he had one.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if he had one or not. He didn't like pull anything out.
It's not like a movie where like, he's like, oh, fucking guy, everybody's just like stopped, like,
no.
Like it goes down. It's like, it was just, oh my God. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I've like.
Are you, yeah, any near death experience?
I want to say near death. We've had like crazy car problems.
Yeah.
Like our wheel broke off on the freeway, and like the van just like skidded to a halt. I've had like weird instances. Like the story that I tell on the regular is when I got pink eye in this place called Coquiel, Oregon.
Yeah.
Which is like a logging town on the coast of Oregon.
Yeah.
Anyways, long story short, it was like this rec center, and they had this huge like. A bed sheet hanging from the rec center that said like rabies, harpoon guns. At the Second Opinion played, they're a band from the Bay, and this local band called John Paul and the Popes. And no one had, I don't know how we booked it or what, how we even got this show, but anyway, the show ended and we asked the guy who was in John Paul who lived there, like, hey, is there a place we could crash? And I was like, oh yeah, I got an apartment upstairs with my mom. Like, you're more welcome. I'm like, you're above the rec center? He's like, yeah, come up. So like, all right. So we go up there, get all of our shit, go up there. And we go into his room, and like, all the walls are covered in crayon drawings of like stick figures having like sex in like various positions.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, crazy. Like, oh, right on, man. That's cool. And the one I specifically remember was a stick figure on the roof, like bending over, and there was a hole poked in the actual ceiling, and he had like a. Like a brown craft paper towel hanging from it, like it was pooping. I'm like, oh, this is weird. So anyways, we kind of like settle down, we get settled, and he's like, hey, do you guys want to see like my shit jar? And I'm like, no, we're good. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, like we don't want to see a jar of poop. I'm like, why do you even have this? He's like, oh, we throw it on all the rednecks in town. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then he pulls out this like Mott's apple juice bottle, like the big with the handle on it. It's just full of shit, like liquefied poop. And we're like, please do not open this. And then, like, of course he cracks it open, the room immediately smells like shit, and we all run outside and we're like, we gotta go, we can't stay here, this is too much. So we tell the guy, we're like, oh sorry, we gotta like go, our show got bumped up like to the day show in San Francisco, we gotta go. He's like, yeah, I'll go, whatever. So we go to sleep and I wake up and my eyes are just like crusted shut. I had no idea, I'd never had pink eye before.
Oh.
So I didn't know what it was. And like my eyes is red and like goopy and drippy. And I put like a bunch of Visine in it. That doesn't work. At one point, I thought I was actually going blind because I'd never had it. But anyways, we finished the tour. We canceled the show in Arizona. We go home. The drummer of that band, he moved after that tour to Portland, and he gave everyone pink eye. There's like this family tree of like me at the top, which is like all these names that got pink eye from like that one guy with the jar of poop. It was just like a crazy like ordeal. Like, I'll never forget.
There's some crazy people like that. I've realized that.
Yeah.
Damn. Any other stories like that, or any other shit that happened on the road? Any weird, like, some weird people you've encountered on the road?
I mean,
I'm pretty sure there's a lot, but with some of the that comes to mind.
I'm trying to think. There was one time in New Orleans on the tour in 2009. Our car had a bunch of problems. We stayed with this guy, and I was like, "Hey, man, where can we go get our van fixed?" And he's like, "Oh, you could go to, like, I got some homies you can go to." I'm like, "Oh, for sure. Like, what's it called?" And he's like, he looks at me specifically and goes, "He goes, you shouldn't go." I was like, "Oh, what's up?" He's like, "You just shouldn't go." I was like, "For sure. Like, I got it." I was like, "What's this place called?" So we got our van fixed, and it was called ANMD Mechanics.
What was it?
And the acronym was All N-Words Must Die. And I was like, yo, for real? And he's like, it's chill. They're like, they're really good. I'm like, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I was like, I could go there. Like, I think I was probably in charge of the van that day. I'm like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're chill. I was like, we didn't eventually go. We found someone else to go do our stuff. But
I wonder if that's on Google Maps though, or something like that.
I don't know. It was a crazy experience. We played some basement in, I want to say, Philly, and the basement was flooded with, like, water. And it was only, like, half of it, so we're like, oh, we can play, it's fine. All the other bands played. And so we play, do our thing. I just remember, like, rolling up my mic cable, and I'm like, there's all this mud all over my hands. I'm rolling this cable up. I was like, what's going on? And our bass player starts rolling his cable, and there's, like, all this mud all over his hands. And I just, like, sniff it, and it was just, like, poop.
Oh.
And so we're like rolling up these cables that are covered in poop somehow.
Aww.
And they got, and like, I just remember the bass player freaking out as well as I did. He just like runs out of the basement, tries to wash his hands. We're just like,
oh
yeah, it was a nightmare. But
how about any characters, or like just weird, like what the fuck characters?
I'm trying. There's so many you meet that I don't think I could pinpoint like any actual character. You know.
Yeah. Damn, that's crazy. Ugh. You didn't throw up or like?
No, I was just like, I think I was just mad and like sad that I just have like poop on my hand now. I'm like, what? Like all my cables too. You know, that I used for the whole tour. You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. So that's leading up to your 30s, right? I'm assuming.
No, I was probably 22.
Okay.
So 2009, I would have been, 22.
But you're touring, doing stuff like this, leading up to your 30s, right?
You stopped
touring at some point.
No, so post that, like, that tour, I guess, 2009, that's when Dosis started.
Yeah.
I think Dosis started actually 2011. So I'm like, I'm doing like shows between there. 2011, Dosis goes on like a small, like, little, up to Bakersfield, San Francisco, like that kind of thing, Ventura. And I think it's like, I just didn't tour that much. I was probably like working. So I moved to LA in 2012.
Mm.
So I was kind of like at the point where I go, I have to pay rent now.
How old were you at this time?
Well, I moved to LA in 2012.
So you were like,
I would have been
26, 7.
5, I think.
25, 26. Yeah.
So I kind of like, we weren't touring much.
Yeah.
With any of my bands. Then Lock happened, I want to say around like 2015.
Yeah.
And then,
how long was Lock active?
I want to say like
3 years, right?
3 years, I think so. Yeah,
3 years.
Yeah. And we did like a Nuke the Nation tour with it was us, Glory, and there's one more band I'm forgetting, but Sam from Triple B, he organized it all.
Yeah.
And we did like a show in Toronto for Not Dead Yet, I think that's what it's called. Yeah. Mm. But Lock only did like 2 tours.
It was was it full US?
No, we just did that like little, it was a 2 week trip from like here to like Florida, then up to New York.
Okay.
Then we flew home.
Okay.
We did like half the US.
Yeah.
And then we flew out to Texas and did like 3 shows, like Denton, Dallas, and Austin.
Yeah.
That was like the extent of like Lock's touring, I think.
Okay.
From what I recall.
You guys are like a super group.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
like a lot of homies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. And did you come up with the whole, like, I guess, aesthetic for a Lock?
No, we had a friend, Matt Belosi. He did the logo.
Yeah. It's literally just ripped off a store, right?
I have no idea where
ripped off. Okay, I'm going to...
Or if you ripped it, I'm not sure.
I tried to picture... I'm probably going to hit the theater. There's a theater in Commerce.
Uh-huh.
And on the way out, there's like
a lock storage.
Yeah, and I always see it. I always think of like lock.
Yeah. I'm not sure. He might have.
I
hit him up. I'm like, yo, I need a logo for his band. He's like, all right, here you go.
Yeah. I was like, I would get a lock tattoo. That's how much I like lock.
Sick.
But I was like, I don't know how what. I just get a lock. And that was just weird. Yeah. You know what I mean? All right, that was just like a dangly lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, lock thing. And, but you came up with the photo, right?
I did do the photo, the 7-inch cover, yes.
The rat?
Yeah.
You took the picture of a rat?
Yeah.
You like hold it or like?
My friend Brandon is holding 3 mice, like feeder mice.
Oh, okay.
And we just took the photo in his basement. He lived in Highland Park with Sam at the time.
Yeah.
It was just in the basement.
Did you think of I'm going to take a picture of this for the cover?
Yeah.
Or you were just, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does it have any significance or like any?
No, it was heavily inspired by the Deep Wound 7-inch.
Oh, okay.
I believe on that cover he's holding a cup of slugs and they're crawling out.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's just do something similar. We just like went and bought 3 mice and took the photo and that was it.
Yeah. And who wrote the lyrics? Sam was also that, right?
Sam wrote all the lyrics, yeah.
And you wrote all the music, or you and Sam?
No, Sam and I collaborated on most of the music.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple songs that I probably wrote.
Yeah.
But most of it, I think it was a collaboration between, I won't say usually Sam and I.
Say.
Because I think I had sent him a demo of like 4 or 5 songs of just guitar and then like finger drum machine, like on my computer, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it started. We took a little bit of those for the actual demo, and then the 7-inch, him and I worked on a lot together.
Sick.
And like with the band too, yeah.
Sick. And what do you get? What do you guys break up?
Why?
Yeah. Or not break up? What did you guys end up?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we were just like. I mean, I will. I honestly, I think I'm the one who said like, I'm gonna quit. You guys are more than welcome to do it without me. Like,
why did you want to quit?
I think I was just tired, you know, and like, I just probably wanted to do some other stuff.
Yeah.
And that was it. And like, I think we ended on like a good note at like the last show we played at Top Space.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but I heard a lot of good things.
It was a crazy show.
That was right when I was getting into hardcore.
Okay.
When I was going to hardcore shows regularly.
Sure.
And I just like, yeah, it's a show that. Are you guys ever going to play another show?
I don't know.
Play another show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like that Soul Search show you guys could have like hopped on.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just been so long.
You play another show. Just for me. Even just for me. Like,
just for you.
Yeah,
just for you. Yeah.
Because Sam was like, I kind of want to play another show. And I'm like, and he's like, but no one's going to care. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
just me. Like,
because we were working on a 12-inch before we broke up.
And it's like, so there's like unreleased lock music?
There's like, I think 2 or 3 demos of just like on my phone of like songs that we were working on.
Wow.
But that's about it.
Dude, you please. Know. Okay, let's just do like a, I don't know, like a dollar, like, or like a random show. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like the opportunity, I feel like you guys, like Distort, Fury, like
mm-hmm.
Firestarter, Lock, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, just putting it out there. Like,
put
it
into the universe.
Yeah.
You never know.
Manifestation, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so does Leather Slave happen during Lock or after Lock?
I will say Leather Slave was before and during.
Now, would you come with that? That's a hard thing.
I actually don't know. I think we just like, so me and my friend Patrick, it's mainly our thing.
Yeah.
We record all the music, just Patrick and I. And I think we just came up with a name just like randomly.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of that band was like to never pre-write a song before recording.
Mm.
So like to keep it like really fun and like very low effort. We just like Patrick wrote all the riffs like when we were in like, I guess like the studio, like my 4-track, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, just keep playing it. And I'd come up with a drum beat, and then we'd just record like 4 minutes of it, and then just like stop it.
Sick.
So that's like every song we did was like that.
Sick.
You know? I don't think we ever intended to play live either.
You guys played live, right? Eventually, yeah.
Yeah. We played like I would say a handful of times, probably like a dozen times.
I think you guys played live a lot.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
At Zed, our.
Like a sandwich shop or like something like that? No.
No, we played at Monty Bar, I think.
Okay.
No, we played some with Iron Lung. Yeah, it was
But so now you're 36.
Yes, I'll be 37 in a month.
That's crazy. Yeah. How do you feel?
I feel great.
Yeah,
I'm chilling.
Are you satisfied with where you are?
For sure, yeah.
Like, being a DIY dude, like, did you ever wish or kind of low-key hope that one of your bands would have, like, became a money-making thing?
No, I don't think so. Because I think I always did bands just for, like, the pure, like, enjoyment of doing them and, like, making something and being creative.
Yeah.
And, like, if they happen to, like, gain some interest or go somewhere, so be it. But I never really started anything out of, like, I want to get rich or famous off this. It was just, like, the pure creative process of it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. I've always felt like anything, you know, I do, whether it be like a book or a record or whatever, you know, it's always just like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
So I'll do it.
Going, maybe really quick to judge, but like, you have a nice home, you have a nice job.
Sure.
Would you consider yourself, because like, I feel like being DIY, like being someone with, like, I mean, not that, like, I mean, even if you were DIY for just a bear, you, that's how, the way you want to, like, do all your music and zines or stuff, like, I think it could go very south real quick. Sure. Like, a lot of people, I think, being DIY, they take it as, like, that's their whole life.
Sure.
And, like, they, like, kind of cheapen their life. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
sure.
like I feel like it's cool if you want to do your zines, your music, whatever. Like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Like, I believe also, like, success is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Take it. But would you say, like, you're like a great example of someone who, like, I'm doing this DIY and this is all, like, you know, like, playing shows and, like, basins half loaded with shit on it.
Yeah.
But then, like, also, like being able to, like do good life choices that, like, you're not, like, just broken, like, some, like...
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's really common DIY? More, like, being on the side of, like, cheapening your life more than, like, doing something good with your life?
I think it just depends, like, what choices you want to make.
Yeah.
And, like, if an opportunity arises to, let's say, like, make some money off of something, as long as it doesn't cheapen your morals and values and ethics of how you feel about something, I think it's, like, totally fine to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's for, like, because there's so many levels of, like, DIY.
That's true.
You know? Like, if someone offered you, like, oh, can I give you $6,000 to, like, do this, like, photo campaign? Then, like, I think it's that person's responsibility to ask, like, well, what is it being used for? Who is it for? Where is it going? Who's behind it?
Yeah.
You know, and if, like, if you find something in that, like, mix that doesn't align with how you, like, your ethics or morals, then, like... it's up to you to decide if you want to do it or not.
Yeah.
I think that's where, like, the line of drawing, like, DIY, you know, like, where those ethics and morals come in.
Yeah.
Like, being able to be like, oh, this thing associates with XYZ that I don't really like or agree with, so it's not for me.
Yeah.
You know? So. I think that's how you keep, like, the clear conscience and, like, make good decisions, you know?
Interesting. And as far as photography goes, when do you start taking photography more seriously?
I'd probably say around, like, 2011, 2010.
Yeah.
I moved out of my parents into an apartment with my friend Devin Briggs and John Gaston. And John played in a lot of my bands. But we all got an apartment together in Huntington, like, closer to downtown. And Devin actually was very into photography as well. So him and I had, like, a really, I guess, close bond with photography.
Yeah.
And so we'd always be, like, checking certain, like, blogs or websites and, like, experimenting with cameras and, like, go on photo adventures. So I think that, like, really nourished, like, my love for, like, photos.
Yeah.
And, like, the adventure that comes along with photos, you know?
Is there any photographers you, like, kind of, like, try to, like, imitate?
For sure. I think, like, you take a little, like, inspiration from, like, a lot of photographers, and you'll eventually find your own, like...
What's some of your favorite photographers? Or some of, like, you, like, I kind of... this is the closest thing.
Yeah.
I
would say Ed Templeton is, like, a really big influence.
Ed Templeton.
This guy, this Japanese photographer, Daido Maruyama, was, like, a really big influence on me. Bruce Gilden, Martin Parr. I would say those are, like, probably my top, like, I could think of off my head.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, for sure there's... times where you try to, like, imitate it, like like Daido Moriyama, I guess, for example, his are very stark contrast black and white photos, which is also like a very time in Japanese photography from like the 70s.
Yeah.
But you could take a lot of like influences from that and like make it your own.
Is there anything your photos try to capture, or is there a goal like that you try to like when you take a photo or taking photos?
I think like looking at all my stuff, I would say there's like a lot of humor in my photography.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I realized until like later on when I like actually like got into it and looked back.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of like funny moments that I think are funny.
Yeah.
And want to like express like, oh, this is funny for this reason. Like the speedboat shirt.
Yeah.
For example, like, that's just funny. They're wearing that shirt.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the photo. Either that or like, I like really like dramatic events. There was a TikTok thing called Adrian's Kickback that happened down in Huntington.
You know
about that?
Yeah.
So I went down there and like shot all like a bunch of photos from there.
Okay.
But like that just like intrigued me beyond belief. Like,
interesting.
I had just got back from like a surf trip, like with some friends to LA, and Devin actually, he texted me. He's like, "You gotta come down to Huntington. There's this thing going on." I'm like, "What is it?"
Yeah.
He's like, "I don't know, but you gotta come." I'm like, okay. And I got down there, and like the moment I got off the freeway onto Beach Boulevard, I'm like, "This is nuts." Like, there was cars in front of me yelling at each other, being like, "Are you going to Adrian's Kickback?" I'm like, "What is this?" And it was just chaos.
Yeah.
Like, I loved every second of it.
Interesting. You're very calm dude, but I guess you're drawn to chaos.
For sure. I'm like definitely drawn to like chaotic events and like dramatic events, like 100%.
Do you partake in most of them?
No, I try not to.
Sick.
It's like the same as like shooting like a punk show.
Yeah.
Like they're so chaotic, you know, in general.
And but like, you're just out here like, really
yeah,
like,
and I love taking photos of shows, you know? But it's like the same difference, but like from like a venue to like the street.
What do you think about show? What do you think about like show photography being oversaturated?
Just like there being a lot of photographers.
Yeah. As someone who like been taking photos before it was popular, or using a phone photo before it was trendy, do you like look down on it, or do you like encourage it, or do you not care?
I think it's like definitely half and half. I don't look down on it. I think anyone like taking photos and like expressing themselves creatively is like very valid and like worth their time, and like it could be worth someone else's time. But I think I won't say the oversaturation, but I think there being like a lot of photographers at one show could maybe hinder like the overall vibe, you know. Like if you're going to a show, you don't want to see like flashbulbs going off every 10 seconds, you know. But that being said, like there's so many photographers, like I think it's only fair that everyone like is able to like take a photo, like get their shot, you know. So it's like I go very back and forth on it.
Yeah. Well, like, even like you're saying, like a fucking show half flooded and be like, "I'm gonna play," even though like most people would have been like, "What the fuck?"
Totally.
Like, I don't know. It's kind of that's sick. Not only is that sick, but like it just sounds more appealing. Like I like being in LA, surrounding big scenes or like every I don't think there's necessarily, I wouldn't consider any scene here small.
Yeah.
At all. Like, you know, there's like a fucking three videos, like,
sure,
video sets, there's like a bunch of photographers, mm-hmm, film digital, and then there's like a fucking, what's the word, there's a whole edit on someone's phone, and there's a TikTok of just those, you know what I mean? And there's like at the end of the day, like two people moshing. And then that person is tagged. And then that person moshing.
Sure.
Repost, look at me moshing.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, like, even though hardcore is like, I guess, bigger now more than ever, even on the DIY aspect, I still go to, like, for example, we went to Bellingham, Washington.
So
that's, yeah, and it's like a fucking, like, it's like kind of like this apartment where it's like you go in there, it's the bathroom, you go in over there, it's like a room, someone's sleeping.
Yeah.
You go in there, it's like a venue. You know what I mean? Like shit like that where it's like, this seems like, it's like, not only is, like, I'm not trying to, like, because I'm conflicting where it's like, I love, like, don't get me wrong, like, being successful, like, you know, like, just making something of yourself, but also it's like, well, like shout out to Alexander Spitt, like where there's less cameras on where the real is, and like you look at a place like that where it's like people are moshing, people are doing a fucking wall of death where there's like a skinhead, there's a girls in there, there's like a mix of people, like just like, well, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
But like you go show here, it's like I said, that's just, you know, that's what's happening. Yeah. But with that being said, it's like, do you believe like that DIY aspect of like where there's no cameras there, like, will that always be a thing? Or, like, do you think eventually, like, cities like Bellingham or, like, that it was not like LA, like, that camera, that, yeah, like, yeah, yeah. that, like, oversaturation will bleed into that, those cities also?
Probably eventually.
You think so?
Yeah, but also that being said, I think, because I think about this a lot, there's always going to be a group of, like, teenagers who are new to, whether it be hardcore, punk, or, like, ska, or whatever, death metal, whatever it may be. There's always going to be a younger group of teenagers somewhere who don't, are probably not so, like, tuned in. They're just doing it to do it because they want to, or they see, like, oh, like, I love this band from whatever, Arkansas, like, 3 years ago. Let's do, like, a band like that. They start their own little scene that's going to eventually, like, flourish into something else, or it might not. But I think there's always going to be little pockets of, like, young kids who are going to just do it just to do it.
Yeah.
There might be, like, different intentions, like...
Yeah.
Because, like, it's so easy now to, like, pop on your phone and be like, oh, this is crazy, then, like, you know, have the intention of doing it to get, like, a crazy clip or a crazy photo.
Or a graphic designer, but you're making what yeah. someone else did on their room, like, back in the day, on yeah. your laptop.
Like, it teeters the line of being, like, documentary and a necessity versus content and, like, clout, you know? And I also don't think either are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just different worlds.
Like, yeah, yeah.
You know,
it just goes on to, like, the world just gets shittier.
Yeah, if you, like, I always think, like, if you want to go do photography for, like, a living, that's no less valid than doing it, like, as, like, an art form to, like, document and create a mood.
Yeah.
I think they're both, like, valid in their own ways. You might not agree with either or, but...
Everyone should have a chance at
least. Everyone should, like, be able to do what they want and create if they want, you know, or if you want to make money off XYZ, like, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's their life.
What's next for you? You're going to get married? You have kids?
No kids.
You don't want kids.
I don't want kids.
You hate kids?
I don't hate kids. I just like having my free time.
Same.
I was like, be able to do what I want.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I'll probably just, like, I've been doing, like, more photo stuff. Like, actual, not to diminish what I've done, but it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I've been getting more into, like, band, like, photo stuff.
Yeah.
So, I guess I've been, like, doing a lot of that. Other than that, I mean, that's all I've just been focusing on, doing yeah. that, yeah.
You're going to be an artistic person until you die.
Probably, yeah.
That's yeah. sick.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You want to wrap this up here?
Sure, yeah.
Let's do this or that, and officially wrap it up. So I'm going to basically do, like, Metallica, Slayer. You're going to be, like, Metallica.
Sure,
then,
yeah.
And then I do the next question. All right, ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Metallica or Slayer?
Metallica.
Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains?
Alice in Chains.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mayhem or Dark Throne?
Mayhem.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke, for sure.
Walmart or Target?
Target.
Really? Green Day or Blink?
Green Day.
Iron Lung or Rica Nachos?
Iron Lung.
Lack of interest or despise you?
Lack of interest.
Spaz or Plutocracy?
Plutocracy.
Death or Obituary?
I'll say Obituary.
Pantera or Slayer?
Slayer.
Rival Mob or Mental?
I'd say Rival Mob.
Say, the Mob does rule.
Truly, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Triple B or Flat Spot?
I'd say Triple B. That's my boy.
Yeah. Roadrunner or Nuclear Blast?
Who's even? I don't know who's on Roadrunner now.
That's true. I don't know either. That's a good point. AFI. The Misfits or Rancid?
Oh, Misfits for sure.
That's a random one, yeah. Rancid or Offspring?
Offspring.
Really?
Yeah, I love Offspring.
Oh, that sucks. Rancid's one of them.
They're from Orange County. I gotta rep.
Yeah, that's true.
I gotta.
Uniform Choice or Unity?
I say Uniform Choice.
Really?
Yeah.
Abuso de Poder or Prisión Postum?
I think I've heard of any of them.
Damn. All right. Death Threat or Hate Breed?
What was the first one?
Death Threat or Hate Breed?
Hate Breed.
Hate Breed?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Sick.
All right, let's wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Anything else you want to say?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right, Chris Kirk, already know. Thank you.